Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our Amazon page. Please remember to shop Amazon, and when you do, go to MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon or click the Amazon link on our website. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program. Now, on with the show.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Junior broadcasters around the country, hear my voice now and understand this, that I have a dilemma that I have been having recently on the Mike O'Mara Show. And when you have this as your dilemma, I believe things are going okay. We are joined today in studio by Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson from the Rob and Joe Show.
Oh, thank you.
What's up, guys?
These gentlemen are have a great podcast, are great stand-up comedians, and I have so much to ask and talk to them about. And then I just was looking at kind of my little one sheet that I have, and I've had this problem a lot lately. Before the show even begins, I begin to say to myself, you know, my only goal is to get all this in today.
Right.
Because we could do one of four or five things that would last for the entire show. So that is the challenge for me today. I got a lot of stuff I want to cover, but the fact is that's the great feeling in the world. When you do what I do,
we have too much content.
It's absolutely fantastic.
And don't you sometimes feel, especially if we do something like a bonus show that is a sort of freewheeling and organic, if you don't get to anything on your sheet, that's good too.
I've always said that.
And it's Open Line Wednesday.
Oh, it's wide open Wednesday, Oscar. Yeah. Thank you so much for getting the name of the bit right. Hey,
Oscar,
Mike.
I swear to God, I do legitimately forget.
Well, the light is on.
This will remind you, Mike.
I don't like to do it.
We love you. We love you as a listener. Yes, we do.
All right.
So give us a call and a chance to listen to you.
All right, let's all try to be nice, okay?
Yes.
Let's be nice to the callers. It is
And that's our motto for 2017. Let's
be
all
nice to the callers.
Let's all try to be nice.
That's a resolution that'll be broken soon, I'm sure.
6673. I wouldn't call this show. I'd be scared.
No.
I want to be super nice. Let's
take a friendly
the first
fire
phone
environment.
Call.
I thought it was a no-kill shelter.
Rob, please help me.
Okay.
Help me today.
He's going to be better today. I can tell his eyes are clearer.
All right.
And he's got a sport jacket on.
I was talking to you just now.
Okay.
Yeah, you.
I said, Rob, please help me.
Help
that would
him.
Indicate you.
All right. I'll be fine.
You're guest Rob. And
Oh, there's no such thing as guest Rob.
Yes, there's guest Rob.
No.
He's there
no,
yesterday.
Show
he's
off.
Here today. and then Oscar gives me the dip in. Hello. You're on the Mike O'Mara Show. Welcome to Wide Open Wednesday.
Hello.
Hi. How are you?
Good, thanks. Thanks for taking my call, Mike.
My pleasure, sir. Where are you calling from?
Beautiful Houston, Texas.
Oh, we don't get a lot of calls from Houston.
Oh, nice. Go Texans.
45 minutes in a cab from one end to the other, or anywhere you want to go. That's
right.
What I remember about Houston, Texas. It's rather, to say the least, sprawling.
The land of highway underpasses.
That's it.
That's true.
You got it.
You so
got
true.
It.
Very
Man,
true.
That's great, though. It's great to have a listenership down in Houston, Texas. What can we do for you, sir?
Well, I just wanted to thank you. I've been listening to your show for years now, and you guys have gotten me through some pretty tough times. I'm actually going to be losing my job this week, so I want to thank you guys for a long time of laughs and just general entertainment, not just on the podcast, but on the radio as well.
May
let
I
me ask you, Rob, go ahead.
It's Mike's show.
Well, I was going to ask.
No, I have a question about the losing of the job, too.
Yeah, okay, well, go ahead then. I apologize. Yeah.
That's okay. That's all right. You know, the losing of the job. You say, I'm actually going to be losing my job this week. In radio, we don't get that. We don't get, like, advance notice that's going to happen. In certain jobs, you do. Do you know you're going to be losing your job clandestinely, or did somebody let you know that a layoff was coming?
Like in HR.
Yeah, I'm actually getting fired by Trump. I work in the Obama administration, so my appointment ends on January 20th at noon.
Oh, okay. So you actually know it's coming.
Sorry,
and
man.
Do you work? Did you work in D.C. or are you just down in Houston for fun? Or what's going on?
Yeah, that's right. I'm in the process of moving my family down here, but I lived in D.C. my entire adult life, and we're in the process of moving my family down here now.
Did you see the farewell speech last night?
Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah,
it was an amazing speech.
Kinda nice sad. Speech.
Do you think? Did you think President Obama should have acknowledged your work?
Well, you're in, in a way.
Rob Mayer in the house, ladies and gentlemen.
If you're in Texas, there's work there. Aren't they building a wall? You can just go down there. And...
Well,
I can go home now.
I'm just getting my paperwork in order, making sure I got all that ready to go.
Sure.
Listen to us online, sir. That's all we ask, and we wish you the best of luck.
Yeah, good luck.
God bless you. Yeah, thank
we'll
you so
you
much.
We'll get you through this, too.
And, you know,
thank
pleasure
you.
To have you listening, and good luck in your future endeavors, and thanks for the 8 years of work. We appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Thank you,
that's great. Let's take one more call here. It is Wide Open Wednesday. Phone lines are open at 888-920-MORE. That's 888-920-6673. Hello, you're on the Mike O'Mara Show. Who's this?
Good morning, podcasting Power Rangers.
Nice. I'll take it.
Ride.
This is Steve. I am from Annapolis, Maryland.
Steve, are you gainfully employed?
I am gainfully employed, but I am also gainfully willing to step off of my vast warehouse floor to give the best entertainers in the world a call.
Oh, that's nice. Cool. You. And I love Annapolis. I lived in Annapolis for a long time when I was in the D.C. area, and I love going down there. Nothing
Nap
like
town.
Going down. McGarvey's on a Friday or Saturday night and waiting for the fight to happen.
Oh, my God. McGarvey's, O'Brien's, Putter's, anywhere that you can really fall on your face in the middle of the night and wake up and really still be surrounded by semen.
Literally.
Oh, God, I had some of my best evenings in Annapolis. What can we do for you, sir?
Well, honestly, I have. I think I've spent more time listening to you guys and spent more time with you in general than I have my own wife. So I think at one point I wanted to just step out, take some time, and just really pay my respects to the guys who just devote themselves to their listeners more than anybody else I think I've ever heard in the world.
Consider it done. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
we
sir.
Appreciate the support coming from Annapolis, and it's wonderful. Thank you, sir. We are joined by Rob and Joe from The Rob and Joe Show, and wanted to bring them in to talk about this amazing little thing that's going on with this comedian. We'll
a
talk
comedy
about that
con.
Later on in the
yes.
show. This gentleman named Dan Nanan, and it's just a fascinating story, and I want to get their take on it. But before we go any further, I just want to briefly to touch on this Debbie Reynolds, Carrie Fisher documentary. At the end of the year, I still think, with all the death of 2016, with all the I almost said the S word, with all the crap that went
yes.
down with celebrity death, that was truly something to behold. Somebody as old as me who remembers, you know, what a star Debbie Reynolds was back in the day. You know, it was still, I came up probably during the That's Entertainment retrospective when they were looking back at those stars. But I still know enough of the history of show business to know that Debbie Reynolds was this massive star. She had this dysfunctional relationship with her daughter, Carrie Fisher, Princess Leia. And then within 24 hours of each other, the daughter dies and then the mother strokes out and dies. And really, an amazing story. And now, is it HBO, Rob, that's running?
I believe
the,
it is on HBO, yeah.
The documentary. There's a documentary behind the scenes that kind of culminates with Debbie Reynolds getting this Screen Actors Guild Lifetime Achievement mm-hmm. Award. And it is the saddest.
Aww.
It is the saddest thing I've ever seen. And it also proves to me what we have said for years and years and years. I actually, even on our lowest rung of the showbiz ladder, looked over at my wife when I got done watching this documentary, and I said to her, Carla, if the time does come when I'm in there going, what were you saying, Oscar? You know, if that, I want to be gently tapped on the shoulder and said, it's time to say goodbye. They stay too long and it sucks.
You want to go out like Carson, not like Bob Hope.
It's soul crushing to mm-hmm. watch them. It's soul crushing
oh,
to watch
no.
them holding on to, you know, this showbiz and really having the showbiz relationship, you know, woven within their personal lives.
Last of a dynasty, really.
It's
I mean,
so
there's
weird,
no,
though.
I guess the Affleck brothers are sort of a showbiz family now, but you look at Debbie yeah. Reynolds, who was the one, the first person to sort of embrace and try to preserve the golden age of Hollywood.
Right.
And there, when they were shutting down MGM and the props and the sets in like 1970, I think it was, she did the equivalent of a Kickstarter back then to buy as much of this stuff and preserve it because she was forward thinking enough that this was going to have a value 50 years down the road. And then to have a daughter that would have a career, I mean, just based on Star Wars alone,
yeah.
that would make her be a Hollywood piece of royalty for all of, you know, all of time.
But the thing about it, and I've been kind of obsessed with this last couple of days, you just see behind the scenes that, you know, with Carrie Fisher and how she talks about her mental illness and her drug abuse and all this crap. And, you know, she's sitting there with Debbie Reynolds, who's just doddering.
Yes.
Debbie Reynolds has a fall. Oh, they show her last performance at this casino hotel. And it's just soul-crushingly depressing to watch this because, you know, obviously Debbie Reynolds staying about a half an hour longer than she probably should. And Carrie Fisher, the hot mess because she was, you know, raised by this mother who obviously wanted the spotlight for herself, and it shows you how
no wire hangers.
How crazy. I remember we went to Dick Van Patten's house, and
yes,
I realized that the wacky world of Hollywood is just so
small,
strange,
small and demented and weird.
It's just weird.
Was it supposed to be sad? Did it set out? Was that the idea?
I don't think it was supposed to be sad, Rob. But the fact is that it was behind the scenes, and it's not that long a documentary. You see Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds, who I think live, you know, it's one of those weird things like the Van Pattens where they kind of live next to each other.
Right. She bought a house by her mother.
She buys a house by her mother. You see the mother who is supposed to do an interview for this documentary, and she has a fall, and they show her with the bruise on her face.
Oh, no.
And then they show her, her last show at this casino somewhere.
The
I'm
Poconos.
Not sure exactly where.
Yeah.
It's in one of those places.
Yes.
And she's up there going, and I'm still here. And it's like, oh. And then she brings her daughter out on stage because she can't stand for the whole performance. And then at the end is the SAG Award where she gets it, the Lifetime Achievement Award, and she's just babbling. So did it set out to be sad? No, it's it's cinema verite. It's like the camera rolling with all this crap going on. And it was just I just wanted to mention.
Do you get a sense that Debbie Reynolds held on too long because it was the last thing she had?
Well, it's human nature. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, Jeff.
It's human nature to, that's not exclusive to celebrities, where you look at the apex of your life and then you long for it. Every single person does that. It's just these guys are so public and their apex was so much higher.
Mm-hmm.
If you're the biggest female star in Hollywood, which Debbie Reynolds was at one point, or at least in the conversation, you're saying it was forward thinking to buy up all these things. It doesn't sound like forward thinking to me. It sounds like trying to grasp it at the what she considers the defining moment of her life.
True enough.
And that's the reason.
Also, there's a money factor here, too. I believe that Debbie Reynolds maybe had to do it because, you know, they have a big nut to cover.
Yeah.
And she got wiped out by a couple of hubbies, after Eddie Fisher. So that's part of it, too. But, you know, I know it happens in every line of work, Joe, but don't you think in showbiz, Bob Hope, that kind of, they hang out longer?
Well, I'll give you an extension of the Fisher family, right?
Okay.
Trisha and Jolie Fisher.
Jolie Fisher, yeah.
I was last year, not this past year, but the year before when I was in Los Angeles.
You had the Connie Stevens
connection. Yeah, in Bel Air, right?
So he's married also to Eddie Fisher, right?
I'm at Connie Stevens' house for a birthday party, and Jolie and Trisha Fisher are there. They are there, right?
They're both. Jolie Fisher is Carrie's daughter, correct?
Yes.
By Eddie Fisher.
By Eddie Fisher.
Jolie Fisher's stepsister.
They're stepsisters.
Of Carrie Fisher.
Yes. And Trisha Fisher as well, because they just have different. They just have different mothers. Bottom line, right?
Eddie Fisher banged a lot of.
Yeah, he had a lot. He had a good run in his days, if you want to call it that. So
I do.
Was your
call
party
it that.
For them soul crushingly depressing?
So every one of them was in show business. Every one of them that was there in one way or another. The husband, the kids were getting into show business.
Right.
Connie Stevens looked like, and remember, I had no context on who she was.
Right.
I had to look up who she was.
Yeah, I mean,
but it was this old, it's like when you see pictures of the Playboy Mansion today, you think they're pictures from 1981. But it's this mansion that's worth $40 million, but it looks like it's stopped in time.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
the whole thing. And the Van Patten place was kind of like that, too. It all looks a little dusty, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's such a good word for it. Dusty.
But how do you keep up with that type of churn and that burn rate of dollars to make something that big and that huge and that expensive always pristine?
With the industry changing. I mean,
but you can't keep up. Unless you are a gazillionaire, you can't keep up with those times.
Mm-hmm. I know. And it's just
and
the whole
famous fleeting, right?
Famous fleeting. And it's also, it speaks when you watch a documentary like this to the whole thing about performance and the business. Even
it's scary
in our small
to be that famous.
Yeah,
I mean, when I think of like the career that like that I idolize or that I'm jealous of, it's like a Bob Odenkirk.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Who's had Mr. Show, a great sketch comedy show, and now he's got Better Call Saul, and he's obviously made a good living, but he's not.
I'm so rude for him still to get has the Golden Globe the other night.
He has a normal life more so than, say, Tom Cruise or something.
Yes, yeah. And he comes off as normal, like a regular guy. Like, you think he will be okay when he's 80, absolutely, 85, because he hasn't been Debbie Reynolds.
Right.
He's
but
not
it's what
spinning,
you crave,
saying,
Joe.
I'm still
I mean,
here.
Rob, it's what you crave, isn't it? It's what you want more than anything else.
It's to
you
be a sleazy lawyer. Yeah.
You want to be, it's to be Saul, Better Call Saul. Yeah. No, do you want that, baby? You want that, right? You're out there hustling every day trying to get that, you know? Do you ever think about that? I mean, it's,
if
you attain that goal, you know?
I want more than I have, but I want to look, you know, comedy, how do you define making it? Making a living and being happy is now how I define comedy. It's not
the
being the greatest comedian in the
regulars,
world.
That's how I define it.
The regulars, being on the regulars for seven straight seasons, syndication, and never working with Michael Holstein again is how I define making it.
I mean, he did burn us.
Oscar, would you like to weigh in on that?
Well,
at all,
I remember having a conversation with Holstein saying they were going to pick it up on Hulu, and I said, "Call me back," and I got no callback.
What about your like snacks of the round table thing?
Same conversation. Or? Call me back, and I got no callback.
It's also on the Hulu desk somewhere.
But I also, in my eyes, and I guess that fortunate side of the show business, that chip in me loves to perform, but there is no, I don't know if there's an equivalent outside of national syndication for radio than there is for comedy. Like, a comedy star can become a movie star and a television star, right?
Yeah, a sitcom star.
A radio star now, there is, maybe in the 50s and 60s, that's how you transitioned up.
Right.
But a radio star now, it's tough outside of the Ryan Seacrests and the Carson Dailies of the world to transition in, and you got to be in L.A.,
Well, I'll tell you this, Oscar Santana. It might be tough for you, but well, I guess you didn't get invited to go on the Bubba the Love Sponge show.
Let's start. It's the Michael Mara Show. You can listen to the Michael Mara Show at www.michaelmaraShow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Michael Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Whom service, madame?
Oh, thanks, but Ron gave me this tuna presentation to do, and I'm really way behind.
Well, you gotta eat something, honey.
Well, if I wanted something to eat, Jack, I would have come down and had something to eat with you and your girlfriends.
All right. Let's get into it.
Get into what, Jack?
Get into this. The house is a mess, Jack. The kids are a mess, Jack. You're a mess, Jack. I'd leave anything else out? Want to talk about the beer? All right. The beard's in its transitional stage right now, that's all. When it comes in, it's gonna look great. It's gonna look like a movie star, what's his name?
Orson Welles?
No, Orson Welles. Oh, I get it, fat jokes, right? That's real funny. Yeah, I've put on a couple of pounds. So what? Come on, what else do you have?
You wanna talk about this shirt for a second, Jack?
All right.
You've been wearing this shirt around the house for about 2 weeks now. It can walk around by itself. Why don't you retire that thing to the Dry Cleaning Hall of Fame, huh?
Because it's a comfortable shirt.
Jack, take a look at yourself. You've really thrown in the towel, honey.
My brain is like oatmeal. I yelled at Kenny today for color on Outside the Lines. Megan and I are starting to watch the same TV shows, and I'm liking them. I'm losing it.
Honey, I know what you're talking about. I've been there myself, all right?
Well, if you were so unhappy, why didn't you say something about it?
Because I wasn't unhappy. Look, maybe I was a little confused, maybe I was a little frustrated, but I knew what I was doing was important because it means something to raise decent human beings. And what saw me through was pride. I had pride in this house, I had pride in my kids, and I had pride in being Mrs. Jack Butler. Where are you going?
I'm going downstairs to sleep on the fat couch if I can get through the door.
You'll be sure and take pride in some of that fat, Porky.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
We're live from the Pfeiffer Studios in Washington, D.C. The Mike O'Mara Show is on the air. The Mike O'Mara Show, a national podcast and radio show With an incredible loyal following around the world, TMOS listeners get it. And if you're here, so do you. Our two-call wide-open Wednesday is rocking. 888-920-MORE. That's 888-920-6673. Or MikeOMaraShow.com. We're online, on air, and we're right now. The Mike O'Mara Show is on. Our show today brought to you by Vistaprint. Nothing better than handing someone your card. It's a classy move, and it makes a dynamite first impression. And this Vistaprint deal remains unbeatable right now. Now, you can get 500 business cards for $9.99 when you enter promo code TMOS at checkout. 500 cards for under 10 bucks. We asked you a while back to send us your cards. You're doing it, and you're getting a little free advertising like Rob has right now.
Now, this is not an advertisement. This is a very creative, clever, and neat use for a custom card. One of our listeners, his son is named Theo LeBlanc. He has Tourette syndrome. And okay. It's under control, but every now and then his tics exhibit themselves. Okay. So he has a pre-printed card that says, I have Tourette syndrome. This is why I act like this. If you want more information, go to the following website.
Can you send that one to me, please?
Yes, it's tsa-usa.org.
Thank you, Pony. Thank you for the laugh with that.
Anyway, I just thought it's very cool. At this price, you can get a card for anything.
Ah, and you know what? You send that along to me, and I can have a pretty fun weekend.
There you go.
That card should have some random curse words in there.
Now you stop that.
I have an erectile dysfunction card that I give out.
Vistaprint does it right. I got to tell you, nothing beats their business cards. The best deal in the business, bar none. Every one of us has designed a card at Vistaprint. Remember, use the code TMOS at Vistaprint.com. You'll get 500 business cards for $9.99. That's a 50% savings. Just visit Vistaprint.com. Create your custom card and use promo code TMOS at checkout. Remember, TMOS, go to Vistaprint.com and order today. We've got Rob and Joe from the Rob and Joe Show. They are here. Give them another lovely round of applause.
Oh, thank you.
And later on, we're going to be talking about this whole weird world with this comedian, Dan Nanen. Rob Mayer, how much hair is this thing growing? Has this thing, I caught it online, and it seems like it's been rather stirred up lately. Am I right about that, or has that been
absolutely
going on
right? It's Dan Nanen. We want to make Nanen. Sure, because if you say his name wrong, he might email you 1,000 times.
Oh, dear God, no. Dear God, Dan Nanen.
You know, Joe and I have had some success in comedy, but I believe the thing now that we're most known for in the comedy world is being one of the outers of Dan's
Woodward and Bernstein.
It's the biggest thing that's happened in my professional career. This
really bigger than the Tom Arnold thing.
Bigger. Oh, this is way bigger than the Tom Arnold thing.
Okay.
Yeah,
let me share the backstory on this guy Dan Nanen, and I'm sorry I mispronounced the name. There was a show. A story on the Daily Beast that says the media's favorite millennial is 55 years old. And the story centers around this comedian who I believe both Rob and Joe have had experience with.
Yes.
This comedian who has, I guess, palmed himself off as a mid-30s millennial, and he's actually 55 years old. So the story centers around this guy basically lying about his age. And I guess he's done it for a long time. And then as you get a little deeper into the backstory, apparently this guy has been misrepresenting himself quite a bit. And it had, you know, some people do this and it never catches him or bites him in the ass. This guy, it seems to have finally caught up with him. And that's all I got. If I'm leaving anything out, Rob and Joe, let me know. But that's kind of what I understand about this guy, Dan Nanen, who is allegedly a stand-up comedian as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, I've said this before the show. Busting him for this, for his age, is like busting Capone for taxes.
So he's done a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
he's
this
done a
is
lot of
literally
other, other
like
things.
And off the air, I've known about this guy for years because, as far as the DC comedy circle is concerned,
sure,
I've heard of this guy and his hijinks. I've never met him one-on-one, but if I ever saw him, there'd be a lot of questions in my mind that would be running through saying, okay, I've heard this. Why do people hate you so much? And at first, I thought it was jealousy. Then you read the story and you hear what you hear from your circle of friends, and you say, well, now this is all adding up. This guy is making a living basically playing a Catch Me If You Can, but in a nefarious way.
Well, he claims he's also a multimillionaire. He claims he's fabulously wealthy. He claims he's performed in front of Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, Barack Obama. He makes incredible claims, And I guess he is passing himself off as not only being younger, but that he was a senior engineer at Intel, and he wanted to, you know, leave that boring existence and become a stand-up. And there's just a lot of stuff going around. I have no idea the veracity of any of it, so because I just tapped into this
guy. Yeah, some of it's true.
Yeah, but, I mean, it started... Well, this is some of the things that he's done over the years. Robert Schimmel... He's no longer with us, but a pretty famous comedian.
Yes.
Yeah.
Legendary.
Dan would call clubs and tell them that he was Robert's opener. And then so this, you know, after 3-4 weeks, Robert would be like, well, why is this guy always on my shows? And not having known that he was supposedly had requested this guy.
So he was just using his name without his knowledge.
Robert Schimmel would bring Dan Ninen's headshot with him at every club and say, don't let this guy in. He's not. Part of
so
show.
That's a pretty egregious comedy club offense to call somebody and say, I'm opening for this guy, and then the headliner has no idea. That's a pretty brazen, bordering on unstable thing to do.
But to go further with just that story, and I mean, I don't think this show is possibly be long enough to cover everything that this guy's done, but that Robert Schimmel story, Robert Schimmel, he maintained that he had a relationship with Robert Schimmel the whole time. And Robert Schimmel basically distanced himself from this person, wouldn't comment on it. When Robert Schimmel died, allegedly, he called Robert Schimmel's brother and said what a prick he was, meaning to Robert Schimmel's brother, he talked badly about Robert Schimmel. But
so he
then,
called the brother after the comedian's death and talked trash about him?
Yes.
Then,
so as to extend the notion that he had some sort of relationship with Schimmel?
Well, no. Or? No, he hated Schimmel.
Okay,
but
all right.
That was a direct conversation A to B. Publicly, he needed to represent himself differently. However, he claims that Robert Schimmel wrote the foreword to his book. Now, of course, he's dead. So, you know, anybody could have written it at this point.
Right. Sure.
He has a lot of ways of kind of snaking around these ideas that can't be disproven.
He bought RussellPeters.com with 1L, and then when you go to it, it would forward to his website.
But he says on his website that that's his good friend is Russell Peters, and he has a professional relationship with him. But he tried to screw him professionally when people sought out Russell Peters.
This is a lot to digest.
A lot of layers of the scale.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
There's actually a website out there from the same article in the Daily Beast called Comedian Dan Ninen is over 50 years old, and his followers are fake.com. So not only has this guy maybe pulled some stuff, but within the comedy community where Rob and Joe live, this guy has made waves up to the very top. This guy is known throughout the comedy clubs of America. And he's also, as far as his ability, that's questioned in this article, too, that he's just not all that funny when
he's
on
awful.
Stage, right?
He's horrible. But this article was retweeted by Keith Olbermann and Patton Oswalt and Doug Stanhope.
That's where
and
I picked
David
it up
Cross.
When Patton retweeted it.
I mean, some of the biggest names. I mean, you're talking about maybe not A-listers, but they're hovering around
so
A.
So if Dan Ninen is as old as, you know, he's in his 50s, when did he get his start? How long has he been in the comedy game?
When I started, you know, back in, 2000, around there, I first heard his name then. So all around that time, but you...
And
I
he mean, was never any funny.
No. He champions himself as a clean comedian, which is fine, but he has, like, he's a... snotty about it. Like he looks down, and he also champions himself as a clean living person.
At his age, you gotta be.
Well, you're right, but it's a thing.
He constantly
points out how comedians are drunks and alcoholics,
like they're wasting their time and talent.
Exactly, and he.
Let me just pause for a second and say, hello.
Which he's right about that.
Not everyone can cheat the odds, Mike.
He wants so badly to be accepted by other comedians as being funny, as being one of the guys.
Right.
And he never will be.
He never will.
Not just because he's not funny on stage, but also because of all this
all the lies. Yes. Now, I want to be very clear here because we keep mentioning the guy's age. This isn't an ageist thing.
No, not at all.
No.
It has nothing to do with his age except for the fact it's another layer to the lie.
Yeah, the whole thing started because he misrepresents his age to be interviewed as this high-ranking millennial figure that will be speaking for his generation, and that's why this thing grew hair. And then it, you know, you open the Pandora's box of this guy, and it's fascinating. And I'm reading this article, which, by the way, quotes Joe and Rob. And the fact is, I said, let's get these guys on the show because you guys have had, I mean, you've flown close to this sun.
Oh, yeah.
You know what's
no
going
idea.
On with this. Yeah. Really.
Now, we've gotten probably 500 emails from him, almost 95% of them, you know.
And there are
I'm
pictures
you.
Of him on a plane, first class, eating a steak. By the way, I've had a steak.
Yeah.
I don't think that's that big a deal. I think we're going to talk about steaks later, but eating a steak is not that big a deal, right?
So let me ask you, here's something that jumped out at me when I was reading about this, and then I knew that you guys were involved. And, you know, you come on the show to have fun with this, but this was actually, you know, I went to Oscar. I said, please get Rob and Joe on because I want to ask them specifically about this. I get a real kind of scary vibe.
Oh, no, yeah. When this came out and I realized, well, this is going to have a direct effect on his career. The other stuff was just, you know, sparring back and forth. But now people are going to Google him if they try to book him. And they're like, we can't book this guy, right?
He's a fraud.
As soon as I saw that, I go, well, you know, I mean, I'm not at a 10 in fear, but I'm not at a 1.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm hovering at a 4, because
you know, this is the kind of stuff that just gets weird in a hurry. We'll button this up. We're talking with Rob and Joe from the Rob and Joe Show, and you know, we'll wrap it up with this guy because, you know, I don't want to do 4 segments because then I'll get scared. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Mara Show.
You already know that when you purchase the TMOS Bonus Show Yearly Package, that you're getting 365 days of access to our very best premium content. But what you don't know is that your purchase also helps provide hope to society's most vulnerable class, interns. Meet Michael McIntosh.
I'm thinking full bush.
Raised on Flint County mineral water and Chinese toy paints, Mac developed a tragic social disorder that has forced him to remain in captivity for his whole life.
Yeah, I'm excited. I mean, I'm mixed feelings. Not letting the anxiety stand in the way.
He's so brave.
For only 19 cents a day, less than the price of a stick of organic chewing gum, you can help provide sanctuary for Mac and others like him, a sanctuary where we can mold their doughy little minds into something beautiful. The Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. If not for us, do it for them.
Sure, absolutely. That's fantastic.
That's awesome.
Who's the author of that one, Rob?
That is a Pony Boy production. He voiced it. He wrote it.
Pony Boy.
The whole
Matt
thing.
Bloom.
Genius.
Oh, I heard it was Dan Ninen.
It was Dan Ninen. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Distilled. Oscar, you wearing your Distilled jeans today?
Absolutely, Mike. Haven't even washed them because I don't need to because they're that great.
Oh, my God. He loves his Distilled jeans. We're talking about DSTLD. They have revolutionized the fashion industry by creating timeless luxury-grade denim so you get jeans that would cost hundreds of dollars, starting at just $75. Distilled eliminates excessive markups by refusing to work with middlemen. They ship directly to you free, and they guarantee the fit. If the jeans don't fit, they'll send you a new pair until the fit is perfect. Distilled jeans are built to last and will become a staple in your wardrobe for years. Men's and women's denim and leather jackets are also available with the same superior quality and effortless style as Distilled jeans. You're going to love them. Just go to DSTLD.com. Go to distilled.com/TMOS right now and get $10 off your first order. That's DSTLD.com/TMOS for $10 off right now.
When?
Right now.
Okay.
5 easy letters, DSTLD.com/TMOS. Thank you, Distilled Jeans. We're back with Rob and Joe talking about this fascinating story about a comedian and a man who's been interviewed about his age, but it's not his age, and then he sends 500 emails to people, and this guy is potentially dangerous. We don't know what's going on. Where does it stand right now, boys, with this comedian Dan Ninen, who is, you
what's
know,
the
recently
backlash?
Come back in there? Where is it? Has all this recent buzz with some of these retweets reawoken this guy a little bit, or where are we with it.
He hasn't contacted us, thankfully, but we have been contacted because one of the things that's in this article and one of the things that he emailed us about is he offered to fight Joe here to the death.
To the death.
On the Isle of Man. He didn't just throw it out there. He had location.
Well, hold on. It wasn't on the Isle of Man. He actually offered two spots in case the Isle of Man didn't work for me.
Well, of course. You have to have a plan B.
So he said, the Isle of Man, we're fighting. By the way, Dan is wrong. It's not legal. It hasn't been legal since 1992 to fight to the death on the Isle of Man. So
Can't imagine why you're scared, Joe.
Doesn't know what he's talking about, clearly.
The guy wants to fight you to the death. That, to me, is, we can talk about it. It's interesting, but... You know, Joe Robinson, that to me is kind of weird stuff when a guy is doing this. I'll be honest with you, we've had
you used to get death threats
in the multitude of years. Mm-hmm. We've gotten occasionally people that really wig out, and you can see it. I would be, you know, kind of maybe chuckling with my comedy mates, but also getting ready to pick up that telephone and call the proper authorities when somebody's pulling this kind of crap. What do you think precipitated this? This kind of violent reaction from the guy to you?
Well, when it first started, I did a show at the Bethesda Hyatt, and I met a young Dan Ninen. He's 48 years old at the time.
Younger.
Yeah.
And he was the MC when you do 8 minutes for $25. After the show, he sold a book on how to succeed in stand-up comedy.
Right.
He sold a DVD of his work, and he sold a CD. And I just thought that was funny. So I went on the Robin Joe Show, robinjoeshow.com, and I just made fun of this guy. I thought it was just...
A lot of merch to support 8 minutes.
Just ribbing, right. Like I would to Rob or anybody. I didn't... And man, that was...
Joe didn't know the backstory.
Oh my God, that ended up being the biggest mistake of my life. I was Jodie Fostered by this guy for several years.
Single white comedian.
Oh my God, it was terrifying.
You probably wouldn't have gone there if you knew the backstory on this.
Of course not. No, I didn't want that in my life.
But if you're looking through your lens, you say, okay, this guy MC'd. He didn't even open up.
Right.
And he's selling a book on how to succeed in comedy, and we're both at the Bethesda Hyatt. He's got a DVD and a CD. I mean, what's not adding up here?
And while claiming that he's making $325,000 a year doing comedy.
Do you know Parade Magazine, where they had that article where they show how much everybody makes?
Yeah, sure.
Dan had infiltrated that. It says on the very front, Dan Ninen, comedian, $325,000.
Wow. People that make that much money in comedy don't take a Saturday to do a $25 gig at the Bethesda Hyatt.
And they also, I don't imagine, want that those type of dollars published.
Of course not.
They don't want that published, right?
A question, is he trying to, because I've seen in the article that he was
a call
like...
coming in on my private line from New York, and I'm just kind of skeezed out about it. Right
I'm
now.
Sure. I'm sure it's a guy saying it was $326,000 a year. no, he's been quoted in articles about millennials, say in Cosmopolitan is the one that jumps to mind. Is he trying to market himself as like, as they used to do on The Daily Show, a professional expert, like a guy that can be counted on for quotes?
Maybe.
Because it's so twisted that I'm trying to put some logic to it.
I think it's American as apple pie. And to be honest with you, when I hear about this guy doing this, I mean, welcome to the world of every expert known to mankind. I mean, how many people in America make money by saying, I know everything there is to know because I've been so incredibly successful?
Right.
And you always ask yourself in the back of your mind the question, well, if you're so goddamn successful, how come you're out here doing this?
Yeah.
That's what I've always wondered.
Yeah, it's a fake it till you make it. I mean, that's what he's doing. He buys Twitter followers. Like, if you were to look at his Twitter followers, they're all the pictures of those eggs.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Fake eggs.
Right. Eggs don't come to shows, right?
Yes.
If you go on Amazon.com, you can buy like 30 different Dan Ninen t-shirts.
Yeah.
You know, so
I bought Joe his book for Christmas.
I tell you what, guys, do yourself a favor. I'm not kidding. This book, I know you guys don't say the F word on this show, but it'd probably be appropriate here. It is
go
effing,
ahead. We'll edit it
say,
out.
It go is ahead. A f-ing hilarious. This book is the funniest. It's 75 pages long.
Well, that's long.
There's 17 chapters.
That's like Mad Libs.
Yeah.
There's
It's a pamphlet.
Yeah, basically.
There's 17 chapters, but there's really only 14 chapters because he skips chapters, so it looks like it's a longer book.
Okay.
It's like
or so, Mike? Is or it because Open Mike, the Mike O'Mara show?
Open Mike's quality, Mike, and more than 75 pages.
Exactly. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
He puts in, like, some of it's at the getting gigs, and he just lists comedy clubs. And it's links, which, by the way, it's in a book. You know, what are you going to do with that, right? HTTP colon, right. It's all in there.
At any point did he write under getting gigs? Getting gigs has been harder since Mr. Schimmel died. But there are still ways to do it.
He actually has information. He's an expert at getting in things and inserting himself into stories.
Sure.
That's what his book should be about.
Well, that's kind of where the Daily Beast article starts with the fact that he's been interviewed in like places like Forbes, you know, talking about this millennial, you know.
Talented Mr. Ripley comes to mind.
Yeah. I mean, he's been 35 in different stories where he's really not. I think when you get someone doing this and they're exposed, I always have felt that people that play this fast and loose with the truth and their own bio and their own story, there is that it just right down in my gut, I get this fear factor. I really feel as though, you know, guys like this, you can laugh them off at the very least, but at the very worst, they could be, you know, there's
sociopaths.
Potential danger here.
If there's a circuit that's wrong enough to allow them to do it in the first place, what else is
wrong?
Well,
you're right, because, you know, some people get busted. And if he would have said, guys, look, I'm sorry, I thought that I was more marketable.
This is my shtick.
If I represented myself as younger, I didn't know people would get this upset. I didn't know it was that big a deal. I'm not trying to belittle it. I'm sorry about that. If people are really bothered that I said I was 35, all I can do is apologize and I won't do it again. He can make those people outing him maybe feel small. Like, yeah, why are we...
Why are we bullying this guy trying to make a living?
But if you read the end of the article, it's fascinating. He will hang on.
They're dying
to
on
this.
That
he note. Will. Yeah. He right. He will die on that vine. At the very, very end, where they said, "You realize you got a ticket in 1987. You would have been 6 years old." You understand? Like you're busted, Dan. You're busted. He goes, "There's a mistake on my birth record." He wouldn't give it up.
Oh, wow.
At the very end.
I think that's the pathological component because you know my experience with people that lie pathologically, and I think many, many people have experienced this. There's nothing that will elicit a more violent reaction than when they get called out. Go nuts. You know, I was talking about if you want to watch any story about anybody in the news that has a spokesperson, I'm speaking like anybody's that's political. It seems to me the more violent when they refute it, the more passionate they get about it, I think the more I want to look closer at the story. It's fascinating to me. But, I think it's kind of scary because, you know, if you bust the guy out a little bit and like you did, Joe, and then you're talking about getting this many emails, it's kind of weird.
Yeah, and I feel safer that we do the show from New York City. And you know, we emanate from there, so the studio's there as well. At least we're not in D.C.
Exactly.
We get to share
this. Thank God that we are doing
in the Big Apple, baby.
From the village.
The city that never
Greenwich
sleeps.
Village. Yeah,
that does not
awesome.
Protect you. He can fly anywhere. He is a multimillionaire with unlimited resources.
And stakes.
Flying Tesla.
any last thoughts or predictions on this guy? Where do you see this going, Rob and Joe?
Murder, suicide.
No! Wow.
I don't see it. I mean, I see him in his, you know, lair plotting. I really do. I don't think he's...
Secret cave?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like, wow, I was exposed. You know what? I did do these things. Wow, you know what? I really need to look at myself and change my behavior.
He's not doing that.
That's not happening. You know, I mean, I'm sure he feels vengeful. I've seen that from him before, so... Yeah, something will happen.
Again, 1515 Broadway. Thank God we're here in New York City, baby.
Well, there'll be a great story about for him in the news you may not need today that'll make everybody feel a lot better. We will take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about my trip to the old pain doctor. The pain doctor yesterday, and felt pretty good about myself when I left that office. We'll be right back, everybody.
It's Tony and Gary.
Hey there, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Tony Perkins.
And I'm Rob Ford.
And on this week's episode of the show, Gary books a guest, and we get him on the phone, and the whole thing kind of just backfires.
One show out of hundreds.
Also, some brand new music from Sting.
Oh, I love her.
You're an idiot. Check it out, TonyPerkinsShow.com. Subscribe on iTunes and download the Tony Perkins Show app.
You just called your podcast partner an idiot.
The Tony Perkins Show.
That made me laugh. When Gary said Sting, when Tony said Sting and Gary said, I love her. That's old school Gary Stein show busy. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by the TMOS Bonus Packages. Are you all set for the new year? Do you have all your ducks in a row? You did remember to order your bonus package, didn't you, Clarice? It only takes a moment to subscribe, renew, or even give the TMOS Bonus Package. With some fava beans and a nice Chianti. You see, each week we record a sixth episode of the show. It's uncensored, commercial-free, and it can be yours if you subscribe to the TMOS Bonus Package. You get full access to all the 2017 bonus content, plus the entire bonus show anthology at over a 25% savings. It's all waiting for you at MikeOMaraShow.com. For the love of God, it's how we feed our family!
Do it.
When you subscribe, you'll get an entire year of access from the day you sign up. And if you're really nice to Ponyboy Matt Bloom, he may throw in that fabulous Christmas album with our interns on it.
Yay!
Why did he give me the throat cuts? No? Yes? No?
Yes. They'll get it.
Good.
Yes.
All right, good.
You will work hard, and they will get it.
All right. Make 2017 the best year ever for everybody. The TMOS bonus package. Order it.
I'm going to be stabbed right now. After the show.
Right now.
Sorry about that.
Pody's like, it's all manual. I have to go in and out everywhere.
He's writing feverishly right now.
Plotting. Sorry about that. You know, Pony, we love you, and thank you so much.
How about you teach that little marsupial how to hit the keyboard a couple of times and do some of your work?
This marsupial. Christmas album was digitally sent to you by a sugar glider. Yay. As many of you know that listen to this show, I have, I'm 57 years old and my body is not going with me. I'm just failing every single day. And
I'd say you're better now than you were a year ago. How about that?
Oh, thank God bless you, Rob.
You gave me the best advice a man has ever given another man.
Okay.
Don't stop moving in your 30s, because if you do,
yes,
you'll never start moving again.
Well, I'm thinking about it in my 50s right now because this hip stuff that I've been dealing with for well over a year. Actually, I probably started it when I was playing hockey in my 30s. It
you
started bugging me.
You gave me different advice when I turned 30. You said, Rob, have a seat.
Have a seat.
It's too late.
Yes. I didn't even say the words. I actually pointed
to
the couch.
Yeah, you gestured.
And I said, right here, and just kind of patted it. And you sat down and
right
haven't moved since.
You're halfway through your life.
But Mike, you said that you used to play, and then you started playing golf, but you didn't, I guess the advice you gave to me, you said, play soccer as long as you can play.
Oh, I would have done a different, I think the exercise regimen would have contributed to, a better situation. I'm going to, make no mistake, I plan on fixing all of this,
sure.
But it is a process because... as I discussed in great detail, after I had my hip surgery, everything that could have gone wrong went wrong. And because I got a blood clot in my lung, known as a pulmonary embolism, that
people die of that on a regular basis.
People die every day of
that.
So the fact is that, but it's also very treatable. But I thought because of that this doc that was going to work on my right one, which is also crap, could not do anything for me. So I'm trying to find alternatives to hold me over while I'm waiting to get my
second
surgery
hip.
For the right hip.
Waiting for clearance, right?
I'm waiting to get clearance, but there's just a lot going on.
They got to de-ice the wings.
2017, I said to myself, I'm going to be super proactive, and I'm going to go see as many people as I can to get alternatives. And my guy that operated on my hip said, here's a pain guy, and he can probably come up with some alternatives for you to deal with that. And I said, oxy.
Pain guy.
So pain guy in the house. And so the good news out of this visit yesterday was he said yes to a lot of stuff. There's an arthritis thing. I think you've probably heard of it. They do enough commercials. Celebrex.
Boniva?
It's a Celebrex. They're going to put me on that because it doesn't affect the other stuff that I
take.
I'm going to be one of I'm working on having that medicine cabinet that's going to have 500
cocktail.
Pill boxes in it. It's the little cocktail. And the other thing is that tomorrow at 11:30, get there at 10:30 for the pre-op. They're going to, shoot an x-ray of the hip area, and they're going to give me the needle and hopefully get me
what needle?
You've had the needle in the past.
This will be my fourth
It's really not the fourth time I've got to get like a cortisone shot, but it is the third time I've gotten that. The success
is it cortisone?
Yeah, I don't know what it is, Rob. It's whatever flavor of the month they're
it's
using.
It's WD-40.
But the prospects of success with this are kind of, but I'm getting it done anyway, see if it sticks. But the drug, which is kind of an anti-inflammatory, something I'm really looking forward to. So I got a lot of positive feedback and a lot of strategies. Got a new physical therapist that I'm going to. So I'm doing everything I can to make myself feel better. But that's not the reason I want to talk
about. I had a hunch there was a butt in this story.
Well, that's the boring part. The interesting part is that I go on the website, before I'm going to go see this doctor, and I look at the bio, and, you know, one thing that's in there is that he's into weightlifting. So that's kind of right there. That's just a little doctor into weightlifting.
So you'll have plenty to talk about.
And I say, hey, kindred spirits.
My guy.
That's my guy. That didn't matter, but he was a big, strong, strapping guy. And the office, like I've talked about our old dentist's office, you got a lot of these babes running around this office. It's a charged environment. You know, that's all
he
I can say.
He has a type that he hires?
It's such a big office. There's so much going on because, you know, go figure, down in South Florida, there are a lot of people that are in pain.
Sure. Yeah.
So we're sitting there, and, I pick up on this, but nothing could have prepared me for the type of question that was asked when I went into the exam room with my wife because I wanted her. I actually was so into this time around that I'm going to be a better patient.
Yeah.
I've got my 7 questions that I wrote down that I wanted answered. And I said, Carla, take out your phone and jot down if there are any notes, the stuff we need to remember. So I just wanted to have
a team effort.
I wanted to do the team effort this time around. And Carla's sitting in the corner. I'm sitting in the chair. And he walks in, and they always have their little assistant with them. That's the way these guys roll now. They've got their little assistant. And I have, since I married my wife, since I have seen my wife, since I started courting my wife when she was in middle school, I've gotten people that have continuously talked about our age difference, but it's never been addressed quite as comedically as it was by this doctor. And I wrote it down. This is what he said. He comes in, shakes Carla's hand first, which I thought was interesting.
Sure.
Shakes my hand. We start chatting a little bit. I kind of manically babble my questions. And Carla looks at me and goes, slow down, slow down. I said, well, I'm in the habit of these guys spending 2 minutes with you. And then he looks over and he looks at my wife and he says, so how are you two related?
Oh, no!
Which Oscar identified before the show is kind of
That's a sexual predator tell.
That is.
Oscar knows those.
Yeah.
That's basically saying, can I figure out a way to somehow spend some private time with this lady or not?
Yeah.
How's your granddaughter doing, sir? This is wonderful. And then he proceeds to kind of over-explain why he asked it that
way. But it's a pretty slick way to do it. If you really break it down, it's like if you don't remember someone's name, saying, how do you spell your name again? I forget.
Right.
You know, it's not saying I forgot your name. He's not saying,
are you
banging this
married?
Thing?
Yeah.
So, well, howdy, doc, as I sit on your exam table. Hi, this is May. I'm December. Nice to see you. How are you, pal? And he goes on and on, and it was just, I thought it was hysterical the way he did that. And,
how did he over-explain it?
He just said, well, really, you know, a long time ago, we have people from with all sorts of relationships down here. And, they come into the office, and I just figured that was really he was honest about it. He said, I thought that was the least awkward way of bringing it up. And then we started chuckling about it, and he was a good guy, and I liked it.
He began to unbutton his shirt.
No, he made out with Carla right in the office.
Do you have an open marriage?
No, I told him the story that I've told on the air about the funniest one was the cashier at Giant Food just outside of Washington, D.C. And at the Giant, where the cashier said something along the line of, you must be very proud of your daughter. We were talking about eating right and eating healthy. And she looked at me and said, you must be very proud of the daughter. And I didn't even answer.
I walked over and I said, I sure am. And I plant one right on Carla's mouth. Oh,
classic moment.
Just to get the reaction. And by the way, that you chuckle at that, but because there is such an age gap, people get a little grossed out by it, too. So it's it was.
But it is a category, Mike. So it's it is okay. A category. I mean, you can narrow cast.
It is a category. And yeah, it's fun. And, you know, and I've said this before. My mother-in-law is in town. My mother-in-law is 3 years younger than I am.
Yeah.
She's 3 years younger than I am, and you know, you get it. You just, I can't avoid it. It's everywhere. You know, I'm walking out.
You're
with
just
my
surrounded by beautiful women.
Yeah, you know that I date a girl 21 years my junior. You guys know
that. Yes. Boy, yeah. Joe. Yes, way to go.
And
you pervert.
I have a question for you. Is there? Yes. Does it stress you out? Because my girlfriend is constantly hit on. The stories you told. I mean, I have them. Nonstop, and I've almost become numb to it. It doesn't even affect me anymore.
I am amused by it. I am also, you know, because my wife is, you know, everybody knows Carla is a very attractive woman, and you just get used to it. You get used to it because Carla is in her mid-30s, and now
she looks like she's in her mid-20s.
Yeah. She's very young looking for mid-30s. So it happens, you know, for the full age spectrum is what I get. And even at the, you know, we were out at a restaurant last night. That was another wonderful
kids
experience.
Menu. And,
no, but they, you
the
know,
lady will have chicken dinosaurs.
You know, I'm thinking, actually, at the restaurant we were at last night with gift certificates, there wasn't any hitting on it. There wasn't any real normal human contact at the restaurant we were at last night.
How do you mean?
Carla was going to visit her mom about a year ago, and I bought them for either Christmas or a birthday. I bought them gift certificates to the Capitol Grill, the very expensive steakhouse that originated in D.C.
Are they known for their steaks? I've never been.
I believe that is.
Grill. It's the Capitol Grill. It's a steakhouse.
I've seen it.
The thing about it is... because I don't travel in that rarefied air anymore, I don't eat at high dollar steakhouses anymore, but it was a special thing, and they never used the gift certificate, so your boy got the benefit of that last night when we decided to...
You lose.
Yeah. And
they snossed and lost.
They said, let's go out to the Capitol, we'll use those gift certificates. I'm like, I'm all in. Daddy gets a steak. That's sure. Good. Daddy gets... And by the way, if you want a steak, I've got the menu in front of me.
Not trying to kill him.
Steaks start at... Let me see. Steaks start at $600.
Oh,
$600 for a...
That's for the 8-ounce,
Capitol
Mike.
Grill,
now, did you steak. See right next to the Maitre d', they do have a place where you can get a reverse mortgage if you need to.
I don't mind a snobatorium,
right?
If the food is phenomenal and you know, and you're treated well. What I don't dig is rolling. First of all, the one down here in Florida, you roll up to the joint, and this should tell the common man to stay away. To the right of the front door is a $460,000 Rolls Royce with a price sticker in it, so they're selling a Rolls.
No.
Is there anything that says stay away, you know, Captain Schlub, than that? Or it really, to me, it's just like I because I'm a rube, I get out of the car and this guy like in a white jacket is holding the door, and I'm like, hold on, Carl, I want to go look at the car.
Steering wheels on the other side.
No, I turn around and there's this wizened couple that are you know, spidering their way into the foyer of this restaurant, and I look at them and they gave me a dirty look because I said, this is $460,000. I didn't give a rat's ass. I'm like, because it was they had a sticker on it.
I'm someone. My name is in the yellow pages.
And we walk in and we have a resume. And the thing starts with the hostess that gives off a bitchly cow corn vibe like you would not. Really, like, ridiculous. And I look over and I said, okay, it's O'Meara. Yes, all right. We can seat you just a moment. And just this, and it's like, no, say hi, smile, look like you're a human being. So I'm already, if she's trying to intimidate me, she's succeeding.
Well,
I'm
you've inconvenienced her
with her meanness.
You've inconvenienced her by making a reservation, and she has to look it up and all that stuff. Well, you need to pull up in your $500,000 car.
I've got the bad vibe off the ridiculously priced car up front, and I got a more of a bad vibe with her. And then I look in back of her, and I see there's this portrait of some douchebag.
Mr. Grill.
Back of the hostess station.
Sean Grill.
And I looked over, and I said, who's that? Because it looks like he's got fingerprints on it. I mean, because I'm going the other way, right? I'm being more Cerrito. When I get this feeling, I want to be more Cerrito. And she says, "That's Governor Boo-da-boo-da-boo." And I wanted to look at her and go, "Well, boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo." And we sit down. So
you rube.
So Bitchley Cowcorn seats us, turns it over to Bitchley Waitress, who comes over, and she's got the hair pulled back so much so that, like, her eyes are bugging out.
You
she's
can't
got
blink.
That.
Yeah.
And I'm already intimidated. And when I'm intimidated, I babble. And I start doing shtick. And we may have, we may have pre-gamed just a little bit before.
Wow. That's fine.
And so I look at the lady, and I'm going, and she's not laughing at any of my shtick, and I'm getting more intimidated. And then they serve the insanely overpriced slot that they put in front of us. And the steak I get, I swear I am not exaggerating here. I bought some sirloin last week at the Publix grocery store in Southwest Florida that I paid, I think, we got two of them, and they were both like $5.85. So the total price was like a little over $11 for two of these steaks. Threw them on the grill. They weren't super thick. I'll give you that. They were perfectly yummy.
But think of how fast they cooked.
Right. Yeah. By the way, so this, this dry aged in a Japanese bomb shelter piece of meat that I got, it was overcooked.
Oh, no.
And so when she comes out, she said to me, and I may have had one drink before dinner, and she comes over after the meal, and she said, "How is your steak, sir?" I said, "It was a big bowl of okay."
Did you really say that?
Yes.
Oh, that's
yes.
Awesome.
Yes.
If you don't. If you can't identify the governor, they'll overcook your steak. That doesn't happen to everybody. Yeah, that's just for those
guys.
So
then she sends over Mike Pence, the general manager, and I swear to God, the doppelganger comes over, and he asks. She hasn't told him that I wasn't happy with it.
Okay,
he's coming over and asking me the same question, and then Carla goes into, "Well, tell him." That's what she said. Oh. Tell him. I said, "No, I ate it. I accepted it. And it's fine. And I want to get the F out of this snobatorium where, you know, people that are ready to do the springboard into the casket at every table around me. And they're all dressed better. They're all wealthier. And I'm sitting there. And it was just a miserable, horrible experience."
What'd you have for dessert?
We didn't. This is how you know. Fat Man did not have dessert.
Wow,
no, that's really how bitter you were.
And by the way, housemade sorbets bite my ass. That's not dessert.
I'm with you.
What's a housemade sorbet?
That's dessert for people that don't give a rat's ass about dessert, okay?
That is a sorbet made in the restaurant, usually served in the size of a melon baller.
I like my sorbet store-bought.
Yeah,
me too.
I actually said over my shoulder, sorbet! Bake a hummingbird cake, you pricks. Anyway, as I was leaving. So, that's my recommendation. Try the Capitol Grill. It's delicious.
Look for the governor.
Look for the governor and $460,000 automobile out in the front of the restaurant that says, "We're rich. Yay. F you." We'll take a break and come back with news you may not need on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hello, this is Alexa, the voice of Amazon Echo. Oscar liked me so much that he shared me with all his friends for the holidays. Tee hee. I love servicing all of Oscar's friends, and unlike that Siri, I can pronounce compulsive. If you want to find out about all the sexiest new tech, listen to Tech 411 on the More Network and buy me through the Amazon link on MikeOMaraShow.com. Buy a t-shirt.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Hey, Robbie, Dan Ninen's not texting you or anything already, is he?
Yeah, is that a threat?
Just a picture of him and a gun. I don't know what that means.
Oh, no, God.
Real quick, one time Dan was trying to explain to us that he was pitching a pilot to NBC, so he took a screenshot of his call log.
Yes.
And the third call down was an incoming call from Barack Obama. No joke.
No joke.
Barack Obama had called him on his cell phone. He's
talking about life.
What are you up to, Dan?
Man. I tell you, after this show hits, boy, you guys are going to get a lot of emails. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Lyft. I love Lyft. I love it when I'm in D.C. The listeners that came to our live show at the Improv, they were telling me how much they loved Lyft. Lyft is the app that gets you a ride in minutes on demand 24/7 for less than the cost of a cab. Download the app, request a driver, and they show up an average of 3.5 minutes later. That is fast. Every Lyft driver fully vetted through their 10-point safety standard, which includes DMV and criminal background checks, so you know you are safe. Plus, Lyft drivers are rated after every ride. Only the best ones stick around, so no filthy cars driven by creepy dudes. I love Lyft. You will, too. 9 out of 10 Lyft rides get a perfect 5-star rating from the passenger. It's just a better all-around experience, and I loved it, and I love the way the app works. I truly do. It's very, very easy, and I love following that car, and you know how close your driver is. It's just a blast. Thanks to Lyft, you can avoid drunk driving, no more bummed rides, and you never have to park. Lyft is the best right now. They have an amazing offer at Lyft just for our listeners. 3 free rides. That's up to a $30 value when you enter promo code TMOS. Just download the free Lyft app today and use our TMOS code. I know when you get your Lyft ride, you will know that it's as good an experience as I had. I loved it. Download the free app. Use the TMOS code. Boom, bam. 3 free rides up to $10 each, up to a $30 value. Just remember our promo code. That, if you don't know it by now, is TMOS, and we thank you.
News.
Thank you. Yesterday was the 1-year anniversary of David Bowie's death, and so an old story started making the rounds again about the time that Bowie kept performing even after a lollipop got stuck in his eye. I don't remember this when he was alive, but I just had to lead with it when he's dead.
I'm not sure that it ever really circulated when he was alive. First I heard of it was yesterday. It's crazy.
I still, even though I've seen photographic evidence, I don't know. I think it's true. It happened at a music festival in Norway back in 2004. Someone threw a lollipop at David Bowie's head, and it somehow got lodged stick first in his eye.
Oh, God.
Hi, this is the internet, Steve Mermelstein.
he was in Norway, and he just couldn't control himself.
This is the quote. He says, where are you, creep? Where are you, creep? Yes, I guess it's easy to get lost in the crowd, you bastard. And he's sitting there, and I saw the picture. There's a lollipop
what
sticking in
his eye.
What
kind of lollipop?
Sticker.
Was it one of those big, giant... Yeah, like swirly ones, or
no,
was it like a dumb guy?
Shirley Temple?
Yeah, yeah.
If I was to examine the photo closely, Joe, I would say it was a Charms blow pop. That's just my opinion. I'm not sure. So anyway, he joked, do remember, I've only got one anyway. That's the Bowie joke that he made. Fortunately, the other one is the one that works, so I'll find you. Bowie's left pupil was permanently damaged at school when he was a teenager after he and a friend named George Underwood got into a fight over a girl. Despite the fight, they remained friends, and George did the artwork for his early albums. Bowie's eye wasn't damaged anymore by the lollipop, and he went on and performed the rest of the show. I assume they pulled it out of there. But
yeah, I did the whole show with the lollipop.
The show must go on.
Yeah, showbiz. Yeah, the show always goes on. Just ask Dan
they just left it in long enough, Mike, for it to expose the gum.
A one, a two, a three.
There's a brand new poll out that says most of us want Donald to literally delete his Twitter account. According to the poll from Quinnipiac University, 64% of voters think he should close his account, and among the 18 to 34 crowd, they say 71% want him to delete his account. It was even close with Republicans. Less than half of Republicans want him to keep on tweeting, 49%, but only 45% say he should stop. Apparently 6% don't care. That's a lot of people that want him to stop. He does pay attention to numbers, so maybe it'll
happen.
It's
going to be interesting to see how his personal account reflects the POTUS account, because the POTUS account goes to the president that's actually in power. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it's going to be a lot of retweets or if they're actually going to originate from that account.
I mean, he's a must follow. It's entertaining. I don't know why you wouldn't want him to keep
tweeting. From a comedy standpoint. Right?
Just from an interesting standpoint.
Meryl Streep was overrated until I read his tweet. Sorry, go ahead.
And I guess he's got a press conference today, and there's a big controversy surrounding him, so we'll see how he handles that. But the fact is that this is his primary way of communicating with the American people.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing.
I'm a lazy Twitter guy, and all I do is retweet. And when I see my feed once in a while, I'll go back and be like, oh, come on, you could write something.
Yeah.
But if the POTUS account is all retweets, I'm not going to respect that account anymore.
No, I won't either. Yeah, right? I agree completely. I really do. There is a page on Ranker.com where people are voting. This is for you, Oscar Santana. Ooh. You might have to work me through this
Please.
One.
Please.
Sexiest female MMA fighters.
Ooh.
There's a top 10 list. I broke it down to the top five.
Okay.
I don't know if
Please.
You're aware. Number five, Anastasia Yankova.
The name alone screams dirty.
Yeah, I think so.
I actually think Yankova is a category.
It's a finishing move.
Well, this is the deal. That was brilliant. This is the deal. These women, and it's this world of YouTube makeup, and I think guys, you've probably seen this, especially the younger guys here in the room. Dan and was it Ninen? So he knows because he's a millennial that the amount of makeup for these press shots do not reflect the ladies that are walking into the octagon.
Or does not.
No.
It does not because there is not, literally you're not going to go in with a full airbrushing into the octagon, right?
Yeah, and then when they get banged up and they look all red.
It's rough.
She's looking hot right now.
Well, she's gorgeous.
That Anastasia Yankova, can you, if somebody
I'll
can
show the guys.
Send that along to me, yes. I appreciate it. Yeah. Number four is Michelle Waterson. Does anybody know
Michelle
this
Waterson Michelle is attractive Waterson? As well, but not top three.
Number three, I like the look of this lady. She's a badass. Misha Tate.
I like Misha Tate.
I've heard of her.
Number two, Gina Carano. You know that name, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, she's also, Gina. She's one of these fighters that's transitioned into Hollywood, right? In her own right.
And number one, the number one timpani, please, Paige VanZant. Anybody know
Paige
this one?
Paige VanZant is a winner. Yeah. And I will show the fellas here.
Ronda Rousey, by the way, came
gorgeous.
In at number
three.
Oh, she's beautiful.
Yeah, you cannot go wrong.
Oh, she looks like a fox.
She could be a ring card girl. That's how pretty she is.
Can she fight?
Ronda Rousey, not even in the
really.
Top five. She's number nine.
Paige looks great, though.
Very good. Moving right along, a new study found. This might be really germane to the discussion we were having earlier for Mr. Ninen. A new study found that when you get revenge on someone, it instantly puts you in a better mood.
Oh, God.
No. Sorry, Joe.
No.
Real sorry about
that's good news.
In fact, it's one of the best methods to switch from a bad mood to a good one.
I was having a bad day, but then I killed Joe Robinson.
Just to make it even worse, the researchers found you don't even need to get revenge on the person who wronged you to feel better.
That's what
I'm not sure.
So just any sort of revenge or dick move would make you feel better if you're depressed?
That means that Dan Ninen could be waiting underneath your car, Rob Spiewak. It could go down
leave me alone. I didn't have anything to do with it.
So, no, the bottom line, they actually put this in there and says that if you take out your aggression and anger on someone else, it'll still make you happier.
Well, you know what? There is truth to that because when individuals derail, they often hurt the ones that are closest to them, their loved ones, right? And you don't do that cognitively. It's just the easiest way because you believe that the person will be the first to forgive you.
Shut
They're
up,
also
Oscar,
right in front of you. Yeah, sorry.
Whoa.
Well, who cares? Anyway. And now a little something. I love this story, and I think this is for our boy Rob Spiewak.
Oh, thank you.
A conductor on a bullet train in Germany got suspicious earlier this week when a 22-year-old guy was spending an extremely long time locked in the bathroom. The conductor's a lady, she opened the door. She found the guy standing, totally naked, trimming his hair down there with a kitchen knife. That's right. Messing around his area with a knife near his thing. She called the cops, the German cops, and they say he said, quote, he was indignant, he felt disturbed, and reluctantly got dressed. She said that he was shaving. Oh, he said he was shaving there because he felt, quote, unwelcome at home.
Yes.
He's manscaping on the train.
What's bullet the train. Crime? The woman's the one that committed the crime by busting the door open.
If you reverse those,
Yeah, Joe Robinson's got a point. It's not illegal to shave yourself in a German train
Damn
bathroom.
Right.
I guess that's knowledge we should all take to heart. Yeah. You might need that one day. But the guy hadn't bought a ticket. So the cops kicked him off at the next station, and you know, I think you might want to know what look was he going for.
What's that?
The Hitler mustache, of course.
Hashtag trainscaping.
The new sequel, trainscaping. I love it. We'll take a break, come back with Rob. Rob, you got some sounds for us?
You know, I brought in some pretty sounds.
Very good. Pretty sounds coming up next on the Mike O'Mara Show.
My fellow Americans, as my term comes to a close, I am making a concerted effort to relax. More beach time, and I love to spend time with the Mike O'Mara Show. It makes me laugh. The Mike O'Mara Show. Every night, Monday through Friday at 7 p.m. God bless Mike, and God bless 97.1 The Way. It's your beach station.
Thanks, Brock. Nice speech last night. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Sleep Number. I love my Sleep Number bed. You'll love yours. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all the people, especially during the holidays, that passed along to me that they listened to my recommendation and got themselves a Sleep Number bed that'll change their lives. I use the Sleep Number bed with Sleep IQ technology. It lets me choose my ideal firmness, comfort, and support on each side, so it's the perfect bed for me and the missus, so she can go into doctor's offices and be asked what relation she is to me.
Marital bed, that's your relation.
Yes, whether it's adjusting your Sleep Number setting or making different lifestyle choices, you know what's working because Sleep IQ tells you. My Sleep Number setting is an 85, Carla's is a 65, and last night my Sleep IQ score was 95, and I feel great. Sleep Number queen mattresses start at only $699.99, and right now, during the lowest prices of the season, you can save $600 on the Sleep Number i8 bed. You'll only find Sleep Number at any of the 500 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Find a Sleep Number store near you by calling 800-511-0061. Rob will tell you to do something funny when you go into the store. No, all you need to do is check that box that says the TMOS show. That's
Please,
it.
It's right under radio podcast. Check it.
Right. And if I say the TMOS show, that would be the Mike O'Mara show.
I think it's nice. It gives it a sort of bit of panache.
Thank you. That's it. And now, without further ado, let's open up the little sound. Rob Spiewak is here.
Pretty sounds, Mike.
Pretty little sounds. It's time
pretty
for
sounds.
I might even
pretty
rename
sounds.
It. Pretty little sounds with Rob Spiewak.
And Joe, very excited that playing Scritti Politti there. He nailed the artist. So I'm very pleased.
Scritti Politti. Oh,
yeah, he
God.
Passed me a note.
I celebrate their entire catalog.
And you just heard their entire catalog.
I hear that name, and I want to go out to a restaurant and order some peppered vodka with smoked. Smokey Robinson. Smokey Rivers. Not Smokey
Robinson.
Smokey Rivers. Just remember, WAVA, funniest promo that ever got put on the air. I'm Smokey Rivers. If you're having trouble receiving WAVA, he did a PSA for people that couldn't hear the station.
And didn't he not understand when it was brought to his attention why that was a stupid idea? He didn't get it?
When you bring it to his attention on a hot rocking morning show, it's probably not the gentlest of ways of bringing something to somebody's attention.
Did he not also?
What an idiot!
Did he also go by Fred Flanzer?
Fred Flanzer.
That's
yes.
a great name. All right.
Yeah.
Before
and he
we
me,
start,
by the way, you know what he called me?
What?
When I was a baby DJ and I went to work at WAVA before I got on the air there,
yeah.
I was actually their promotional Nick sticker.
Yes.
And I was like, I did a Humphrey Bogart voice and drove around in a van all day long. And Smokey never didn't call me Nick after that. Hey, Nick. Nick, come into my office.
Oh,
hey,
what
Nick.
A dick.
He is a super dick.
Thank you.
Man.
Let us start with this pretty sound. Before we begin, I want you to know that no one was hurt by the electric fence permanently. Everyone is okay. But there's three British guys taking a bike ride, and it's not clear. Now, this YouTube video is on our Facebook page. It's on our YouTube page. I don't know how the bike got tangled in the electric fence, but here are three British guys trying to remove a bike. From an electric fence.
Come on, Paul, get your bike off that electric fence.
It's only a little electric. You're a welder.
No, Tom.
It's only a little bit light.
I'm pretty sure if you held the wheel.
Oh, yeah, hold the tire.
Pull the tire.
Push the back tire around that way and I'll hold the front tire.
You won't get a belt through.
I did when I touched it. What am I going to do?
You won't get a belt through here. Oh!
Oh, I told you.
How can you get a belt through a bloody rubber tire?
Touch the metal.
Instead of going
across the frame there.
It's metal.
Metal.
I told you.
What?
Oh my god.
Hey, listen, I'll get the belt.
You just get hold of it.
Hang it properly.
Because you're a bloody wet world.
That's awesome.
So take a look at that. That's worth taking a peek at. And speaking of electricity, do you remember in Return of the Jedi when the Emperor shoots lightning out of his hands and gets Luke Skywalker sounded like this?
Your skills are no match for the power of the dark side. You have paid the price for your lack of vision.
Great sound.
Pretty great skill to have. Some scientists in a college did the research that if you were able to shoot electricity out of your fingers, it would require 1 trillion calories. So the next time you watch Return of the Jedi, you have to imagine the Emperor just ate 1.6 billion Big Macs.
Or seven Cinnabons.
But if you want to know what scientists are working on, they're figuring out that it takes 1 trillion calories.
Quite a workout.
Yeah, to shoot lightning out of your fingers. It's still going between Soulja Boy and Chris Brown. And
the feud
is going on. I believe that someone has challenged them to one of them has challenged the other to a fight. And
Stan
because
Niner.
Of this,
I'm familiar with this. Continue.
Chris Brown is going to be coached in the fight by Mike Tyson. And because of this, Mike Tyson has issued what they call a diss track. This is a song is showing how angry Mike Tyson is at Soulja Boy.
If you show up, it's going down. I'm going to teach him how to knock your If you show up, it's going down. I'm gonna teach him how to knock your out. I'm Mike Tyson. It's going down. I'm gonna teach him how to knock your out. If you show up,
that's a solid beat.
Going down.
You can't knock the beat.
Yeah. Where's the melody?
That was written by Cole Porter.
Like, I was going to say, that sucks, right?
Yeah,
but before I said that, Oscar complimented it, so I
No, it's fine, but look, the man has a face tattoo. There's not much more you can expect out of a guy who's been a boxer. Look, now he's here.
Hey, Mike.
Oh, my God. Iron Mike.
Good song, Mike.
I just came by to thank Oscar for saying the good thing about
the
song.
Great
the
diss track.
It's got a great beat.
The beat.
Yeah. I think all the rest you got, you bitching.
Oh.
You bitching. You little bitching.
I also have a soft spot because I saw the 30 for 30 on, and for some reason, Roberto Duran, I'm obsessed with him, and they show.
He's one of yours,
Sugar
isn't he?
Ray
you
Leonard.
Mentioned him on the show yesterday.
Yes.
No Mas.
Yes. They have a 30 for 30 on ESPN, and they show Sugar Ray go down to Panama and finally ask Duran what really happened. Because if you're a boxing aficionado, he said he ate a big breakfast and he had stomach cramps, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
I think it's a giant candy ass.
You don't like that?
So you've got Tyson there talking about that fight, and
no
I'm
idea.
Sitting. And I'm I'm sorry.
You're on that
documentary, and you're talking about that fight, and you're so passionate because you remember watching Duran, and you mentioned within that doc that inspired you to become a boxer.
I just don't want to go back to jail. That's
really,
fine.
You don't. You didn't. Hold on. You didn't like jail.
I didn't like jail. You see things in jail.
You saw things in jail.
I don't want to shower. I didn't even shower.
You didn't even shower in jail.
No, you see guys' genitals.
Right, so, what's your favorite Mike Tyson song?
Remember what one of the Hangovers he did one night in Bangkok. So I will go with that.
Very
because
true.
You know why? Positive energy, not a diss track. Can't we get along? Oh, hi, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Still talking about me. I just one night in Bangkok in the world of your oyster.
I heard he's the new frontman for Skritti Politti. Resurgence.
Great news, though, guys. The Brangelina divorce settlement has been finalized.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, so
wow.
They finally worked it out.
Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt have reached a divorce agreement. Yeah. Yeah, they agreed on a 50-50 split. She takes 50 kids, he takes the other 50.
That's your Magic Audio Vault. Have a great Wednesday, everybody.
All right, I want to thank Rob Bear and also Joe Robinson for dropping by the Rob and Joe Show. You guys, plug away. What do we got coming?
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, we have actually a bonus show now. We're hooked up with Patreon. If you give a little bit of money to us each month, you get an actual free, well, not free, but a bonus show that we will air at the... We really dig deep
into
our lives.
You're really selling this the appropriate way.
I know. He's a master pitchman, is he not?
Things we can't say about our girlfriends or exes, we might say on the bonus show.
Do you talk about Marcus Serta on the bonus show?
No, we say that on every
show. Okay, very good.
Go to patreon.com/RobandJoeShow, all the details. And, of course, every week, new episodes, robandjoeshow.com, iTunes, you know the whole
thing. And the improv this Sunday for you, right?
Improv this Sunday night. It's a taping recording for SiriusXM Radio. 7:30 p.m. Sunday night, DC Improv, myself, not Joe.
Joe,
I'll be hiding.
For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, and our executive producer, Matt Ponyboy Bloom. This is Mike O'Mara. This is Dan Ninen inviting you to join us again for your favorite part of the day, the Mike O'Mara Show. Bye-bye, everybody.
So long.
Ciao, ciao.
See ya.
One last thing. Please remember that MikeOmeraShow.com/Amazon is the best way to shop for anything and everything. So, shop Amazon and get there through our website. Always open at MikeOmeraShow.com/Amazon. Now, go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.